Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, coming up on this special edition of the Gegen Pod, I'm Amy Duggan, and I'll be joined by Matildas and Arsenal defender Steph Catley and our Optusport reporter Michelle Escobar as we take a deep dive into the UEFA Women's Euros, which will be coming up on Optusport in July. We cannot wait for this, and we also catch up with Steph about what she's doing now and what the future holds. Don't miss a moment. Hello and welcome to our Women's Euros preview podcast. The European Women's Football Championships are kicking off on July 7. We will have the tournament live and exclusive for our Aussie viewers on Optusport. Well, football fans are counting down the days. The stage is set, so we thought let's get you in the mood, bring you up to speed and have a chat and hopefully provide you a few good tips on the tournament. I'm Amy Duggan and today I'm joined by fellow Optusport reporter and Michelle Escobar, who will be hosting Optusport Sport Daily on Snapchat every match day throughout the tournament. Welcome, Michelle. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Amy and Steph. So great to be on this. Really excited. It's been a while.
You've stolen my thunder here because drum roll, who else is joining us, of course, is Matilda's defender and Arsenal WSL footballer, Steph Catley. Great to have your company, Steph.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, wonderful to have you with us. And congratulations again this year on bringing up your 100th cap for Australia. Such a massive achievement. And of course, you've re-signed with Arsenal for the future. We will get into that a little bit later, but we're lucky to have you on and off the field with us today for some unique insight. Let's get into this because it is such an exciting time, a very exciting tournament. And as I mentioned, it all kicks off on the 7th of July, 5 a.m., a nice early rise here in Australia, live and exclusive on Optusport with some of the best and brightest talent on show from right across the world. Steph, straight up to you, what are your thoughts on the whole tournament? Because what makes the Euro so good to watch?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited to watch this one. I mean, most major tournaments I'm involved in and preparing for, so it's all a little bit more serious, a little more tactical, but it's nice to be an observer in this one and know so many players going into it. And when you look at the teams that are involved, it's just so exciting. I think there's amazing matchups in every single group, and the quality and the standard of the players and the teams that's going to be on show is going to be incredible.
It is really a female football festival, isn't it? Michelle, we are spoilt with football content at Optus. Why are the Euros on the top of your watch list?
I just think that we're going to be able to watch, you know, some of the best players in the world, ones that we actually get to see in the Women's Super League, like Steph herself, but I guess some of her teammates and some of her opponents. And I'm excited to see how well they're going to do, you know, like the likes of Viviana Miedema, Fredelina Rolfo, Alexia Putellas, the list goes on and on. So it's super exciting.
Yeah, it is a big, long list of superb talent on show. There are four groups in this competition. It is the 13th installment of the tournament. 16 teams this time around, four groups. So let's drill down into those in a moment. But is a big game to kick the tournament off. Of course, England is hosting this one. They will come up against Austria. Now, England has been on an absolute warpath since appointing the former Netherlands coach in Serena Wiegmann. Steph, what have you made of their recent appearances?
Yeah, I think they've looked really, really good. I think England have put together an amazing squad. They've got solid players in the front line, midfield, back line. Their depth is incredible. And I think they just look like they're in a really good place. I think sometimes with England, there can be a little bit of turmoil in the back of the camp that sometimes you can see that comes out onto the field. But this time it looks like everyone's really happy. The coach has got them in a great place and it looks like they're ready to go. So I would be very worried if I was the other teams looking at England.
Yeah, pre-tournament favourite, that is for sure. But can they handle the pressure on home soil? We will have to wait and see. Michelle, there's some other big fixtures to look forward to in the group stage, isn't there?
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, I'm very excited to see, you know, the likes of Germany and Spain and Denmark and Finland all go head-to-head in the group of death. That's going to be super interesting to see, especially Spain, because they're another one that have a lot of expectations. And Germany, you know, they're a powerhouse and they're the most successful team in the Euro. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of fixtures out there that are going to be very fascinating.
They sure are. And Steph, there's plenty of big names lining up too. We've mentioned a few already, but many of them are either your teammates or, of course, you play against them on a regular basis now. Who are some of the players you think we should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick just a couple. And I have a lot of very talented teammates. If I think about England as maybe the favourites and potentially going really, really deep into the tournament, I think Leah Williamson's going to be really, really important for them. I think, you know, when we're playing, when she's playing in my team at Arsenal, we look like a different team without her, and she's so solid there at the back. She's a leader. She's fast. But at the moment, she's playing in the midfield for England, and she's doing a really good job. And I think she does the same thing there and sort of marshals everyone and keeps everything connected. And she's skillful and smart. So I think she's going to be massive. And if she's playing well, I think they'll play well. I also look at a player like Caroline Hansen, who I've played against a few times, who's just an incredible footballer. She's fast, smart, skillful, and I think she'll really dominate this tournament.
Stefan, Leah Williamson, well, I guess she's taking over from Steph Horton, who was the captain for so long from England. How do you think that she will deal with that new sort of pressure?
Yeah, I think Leah's one of those people that's just unfazed by everything. Ever since the moment I met her, I felt that way about her. She never seems flustered, and you kind of forget that she's as young as she is. So it doesn't surprise me that that's the way they went with their captaincy, and I think she's perfect for it. So I don't think she'll be overawed by it at all. I think she'll take it in her stride, and I think it'll add to her game as when she's leading from the front and she's in charge. I think that's when she's playing her best football.
Yeah, personally, I am looking forward to those unexpected gems shining through to Steph, you know, the player that just stands up above expectation. And I love also to look at the next generation that's coming through to the rising stars and watching how the game is progressing and growing and changing as each generation comes through. And this will be a tournament of crowds as well. We've seen massive attendances across the world, and we're assuming that that will continue throughout the Euros, especially with ticket sales so far. So let's hope that that continues. Let's dive into these groups team by team. And you guys, I can tell, have so much to say about England, and we will start there. But I'd love to hear both of your thoughts on what you think we'll see from these teams, any challenges, do they have any weaknesses? And then I will round out each of these groups with who you think will go through the group stage. So let's take a look at Group A. Of course, it has eighth ranked nation and host England, Austria, Norway and Northern Ireland. It is one of the most competitive groups at the European Championship. The hosts, as we said, are the tournament favourites. Norway will be there. Northern Ireland are competing for the first time, and Austria are 2017 semi-finalists, all trying to spoil England's party, no doubt. We've talked about a couple of players here in Leah Williamson, but there's a whole heap of players on this team, isn't there, Steph? Like Lauren Hemp, you know, world-class, balls into the box. She's super quick, a few tricks up her sleeve. She's a prolific goal scorer. Ella Toon is that next generation. Ellen White will no doubt be there. What are you looking forward to seeing from this team?
Yeah, I mean, every name you just mentioned, it's exciting to think about that. I think when you look at the competitiveness in their squad and the front line in particular, you don't know who's going to start in any given game. And I think that plays in their favour massively. One of my teammates, Beth Mead, is in the form of her life right now, and she's assisting for fun. She's scoring. She's having fun playing. And I just think she's going to be extremely dangerous. But then you look at the likes of someone like Chloe Kelly, who's just come back from injury, who's also an incredible player. She's so fast, skillful. So I don't know how they're going to manage to fit all of those players in, but it's a long tournament, so they'll have plenty of surprises and, lots of good players on show.
Lots of depth, Michelle, and that's one of the things Serena Waegman will have headaches over probably, but one of the things she loves to do is play from the back line and change tactics and keep the opposition guessing. This will be a chance to do that.
Yeah, definitely. So, and another player as well that I'm really interested to see how she'll go is Fran Kirby. She's had some issues with fatigue and health issues. And so she, up until like the last minute really has been trying to get her fitness up to the level that it needs to be, and she's a fantastic player for Chelsea. She plays so well alongside Sam Kerr, so Wiegmann's really taken a chance on her, and hopefully it's able to pay off.
So Steph, how do you think they'll go on home soil under pressure?
Yeah, it's a big ask, and I think sometimes it can be a massive advantage and sometimes it goes in the other direction, and you really never know until you're there. But like I said, I think England are coming into this tournament very, very confident. I think they're playing really well and they look really connected. And I think at the moment they've got everyone healthy. So that's sort of the biggest battle. And you'd think, with that kind of confidence, the crowd can only do them good. And from the sounds of it, most of it's all sold out and they're in big stadiums. It's a big occasion. So I suppose you never know, but I think they'll use it and they'll be okay.
So you don't see it as a weakness, and does this side have a weakness?
I don't see it as a weakness, but like I said, you never know. Sometimes it can be too much pressure, and maybe in a big moment in one of the games it gets too much, and it will be, but that's part of tournament football. It's not every game's going to be perfect. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to see too much of a weakness at the moment. That could be it. But otherwise, I think, the depth that they have and the quality of players, I think they're looking really strong.
And their first game against Austria, Michelle, it's important to get off to the right start.
Yeah, definitely. So, there's so much hype around it, so much expectation. And Austria, they're not going to be that easy as well. They do have a very good a striker, Nicole Biller, who's done really well in the German league. So they do have to be very careful, but I'm sure that Wiegmann, she's the perfect manager, having taken Netherlands to glory at the last Euros. So she'll be preparing the Lionesses very, very well.
As we said, tournament favourites and some big expectations on the English side's shoulders. Let's talk about their opponent in Austria, also in this group, ranked 21 in the world. You mentioned Hoffenheim's Nicole Biller. Look, she is potent up front, but I feel like a lot of the team's hopes really rely on her getting the ball in good position, Steph.
Yeah, definitely. I think Austria are one of those teams that are just solid all round. They've got good players sort of all over the park, maybe not as much depth as when you look at a team like England, but a really solid, organised team. And I have a few teammates with me at Arsenal and they're incredible players. I think it'll be a really interesting game and definitely not an easy start for England.
They were semi-finalists in 2017, Michelle, and someone that missed out on that was Barbara Dunst, and she was 19, I think, or 20 at the time, and has just completed an amazing, outstanding season in Germany. And she also poses a real threat to opposing sides with her pace. She's technical and she has precise finishing. Is she one of the players you're looking forward to seeing for this side, or is there someone else that stands out for you?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm really looking forward to seeing her, and as I mentioned, Nicole Biller as well. And I guess Austria, they have retained a lot of the players from that 2017 side, which they went on that fairy tale run. So yeah, it'll be fascinating to see whether they can replicate that. And they don't really have that expectation, so they could potentially be, I guess, a dark horse.
The dark horse of Group A. Well, someone that has been called a dark horse of the tournament is Norway, also in this group, ranked 12th in the world. Martin Sorgen's side welcomes back their key player, Ada Hegerberg. The 2018 Ballon d'Or winner isn't the only star in this side, though, Steph.
No, I actually was just scrolling through my Instagram the other day and a team photo came up of Norway.
It's pretty impressive.
And I was like... I actually don't think I realized how many incredible players played for Norway. It kind of just took me by surprise. I was like, yep. Like all good players, Hegerberg, Hansen, Guru Reiten. I just think that they're stacked and I didn't realize that they were that experienced and that full of quality. So I think I'm particularly looking forward to England versus Norway. I think that'll be an incredible game. And yeah, I think they could be one for me that I'm watching to go really, really deep.
Michelle, their style of play is impressive. Of course, Australia faced them in 2019. Can we expect that kind of same style of play? And Mara Majeld is another name that pops in to your head when you're thinking about this side, more in a defensive role. But what are you expecting from this side tactically?
Yeah, I do think that they're going to be come across like very well, and they're going to be very strong in attack. Of course, having Ada Hegerberg back, you know, she wasn't there at the 2019 World Cup, and she is such a powerhouse, such a force. And in her first game back for Norway in 5 years, she scored a hat trick against Kosovo. So, you know, she's rearing to go, and she's been fantastic for Leon as well. So having her alongside, like Steph said, so many other fantastic players, they're going to be a real force.
And then there's this team, which, you know, comes to us all probably as a surprise, and not to be confused with the Republic of Ireland. We've got Northern Ireland competing for the first time. Kenny Shields' side is ranked 47th in the world. What are the highlights we're looking from this team? Obviously, their goal to be, you know, to stand up on the world stage and get out of the group stage. But what are we expecting from this team?
I'm really interested to see how they go, because Kenny Shields is actually a very controversial character. He did say that when they lost to England by, I think it was 5-0, that women are more emotional when it comes to conceding, but his old team stood by him. So I think that cohesion and them all supportive of one another is going to mean something. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go, but expectations aren't high at all, and they're not expected to get out of the group.
Have you had any familiarity with these players, Steph?
I haven't at all, but I do think sometimes when a team like that comes into a major tournament like this, that it's obviously means a lot to them, and they've almost got a chip on their shoulder, and they're the underdogs, no pressure, and that can sometimes be really, really difficult to play against, especially for a team, the teams in this group that are actually expected to do really well and make the finals and whatnot. A team like this, no pressure, can be really dangerous. And I think it's definitely something that the other teams in the group have to watch out for.
Yeah, and if they're passionate and emotional, look out, people. One of the key players to look out for, Rachel Furness, or she plays for Liverpool in the midfield, probably the pick of the bunch there. She has passion in droves and is a real fighter, but like the pair of you, I do not think they have the quality and the depth to progress out of the group stage of their first ever major tournament, and they really do come in as rank outsiders. All right, we've had a quick look at these four teams. Absolutely amazing. Let's work it out now. Who is going through?
For me, I would say England are going to top the group and Norway are going to be second. Austria might have it in them to cause a few upsets, but I think it's going to be those two.
Yeah, I would agree. I think potentially Norway have... I can see them finishing top. I don't know. Say England have a slow start, a little bit of an upset, maybe overawed by the occasion, but it'll definitely be one of those two in my opinion.
Okay, well, I would really like to think that Austria is going to pull one out of the bag, because I find them seriously amazing to make the semifinals in 2017. Also amazing from a country which, despite all the good results, still really struggles to get young girls into football. In fact, at the moment, I think only 7% of active players in Austria are female. But like the pair of you, I am definitely sitting on the English-Norwegian to finish 1-2 in this one. Well, there we have it. We think that it'll be England and Norway going through from Group A. So that takes us on to Group B. This is a big one. We have Germany. We have Spain. So entertaining. We have Denmark and we have Finland in this one. This is a really tough one to pick, I believe. We have Germany, who's been 8-time winner of this tournament. They haven't had silverware since 2016. So are they still a threat? Can they be up there and take out their ninth? Who knows? Let's go through these teams one by one. Martina Voss Tecklenburg, obviously coaching Germany. Their key player for me is Alexandra Popp. We will talk about her, no doubt, as we go through this German lineup. But Steph, what are you expecting from this German side?
Yeah, I think Germany are one of those teams that in a major tournament, you always have to look out for them. I think they've got so much experience in high-pressure situations. They've got incredible players that are playing in big leagues all over the world, and they've also got a lot of young up-and-coming players that are looking very, very dangerous and full of quality. So I think it's they're definitely a team to watch.
And what about you, Michelle? What are you expecting from this team? Can they bring back their old school form, or will they be one of these teams that just doesn't quite live up to expectation?
I think they might be one of those teams that don't live up to expectations. The concern for them is that they don't have that level of unity and cohesion like the likes of Sweden and France and England. So I think they will get deep into the tournament, but I don't think they'll be able to go all the way and replicate the glory of the past.
Of course, because they're Olympic gold medalists, and someone like Alex Popp has racked up 114 caps. This will probably be her last major tournament. They really missed her back in 2017 and again, unexpectedly fell out in the quarterfinal stage there. They'll be looking to make up for that. Lena Oberdorf is one of the younger players that we're looking at as that next generation. She's only 20. She plays in multiple positions right across the park and is one for me. They come up against Denmark in their opening match. How do you think they'll go in that, Steph?
Yeah, I think it'll be a very interesting game. I think it'll be quite even. You know, both teams have got very, very good players and they're both well-structured, organised. I do agree with you, Michelle. I think it's not going to be the Germany of the past. So maybe that'll give Denmark a little sniff to get some points after the first game. But it'll be a very interesting game and I'm actually really excited for that one.
Me too, but they come up, as we said, against Denmark. Lars Sondergaard has this side. They have a key player in Pernille Harder, someone I'm sure you'd be very familiar with, Steph, as a defender. Of course, she plays up front for Chelsea, known for being the most expensive female player in the world. She's got absolutely magnificent feet and has won a whole swathe of awards. What can you tell us about Pernille as a player?
Yeah, she's a great player. I think, you know, playing against her, she's one of those players that you instantly feel is going to be make it a tough day. You know, she's a workhorse. She never stops moving. Her runs are so, so intelligent. She's always reading the game. She seems to be one step ahead. And I think she drives her team with that work rate. I think when I've watched, you know, Chelsea in the past, even the way that she's moving and she's constantly hungry for goals and looking for the ball, and I think that kind of brings her teammates with her. So I you know, she does that for Chelsea. She's going to do it for Denmark. And in a tournament like this, she's going to really want to perform. And I can see her dominating, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely think that I don't want to keep on using the term dark horse, but I do think that they are another one that, you know, everyone has to be very careful about because, as you said, Steph, Pernille Harder is, you know, just a superb player, and she is probably the one that's going to make the difference for them. They also do have some great young players like Sophie Svava, who plays for Real Madrid. So she's definitely one to watch and see what she can do because she has been doing some great stuff in the Spanish league. So yeah, I think Denmark, they're definitely going to be a dangerous side.
And a great story with Nadia and Adim. She's 34 years old and obviously coming back from an ACL, but such a wonderful backstory, being a refugee and coming in and then debuting for this Danish side and, you know, now coming all the way to the Euros. And I think people sometimes write this team off, and they shouldn't, because if I cast you back to 2017, these guys actually finished runner-up. They were beaten 4-2 in the final, of course, but to even make the final of the Euros was an absolutely outstanding achievement for this side. And I also think this is a group that's, you know, we'll talk about Spain next, but it's wide open after Spain tops the group in my opinion. All right, so let's go on to Spain, because they're, you know, they are, I think, apart from England, the other tournament favourite with this. They have the current Ballon d'Or winner in Alexia Putellas. Their manager, Jorge Vilder, has been with this group of players for a really long time. He took them through the junior ranks and had, you know, quite a lot of success with them. And now you're starting to see that pay off at the top level. There's a really heavy Barcelona feel to this side. I think there's nine players from the Barcelona team here. Can they, this is my question to you, can they take that form, and we have seen their amazing result in the past few days against Australia, but can they take their form and put it into tournament football?
I think that they're going to be the ones that are going to win the tournament. They are just next level, and having so many of those Barcelona players is going to make a difference, because Barcelona are absolutely dominating Europe at the moment. So I do think that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. And the only concern for Spain is that apparently they don't gel as well as what Barcelona does. That they don't have their own identity. But I don't know, seeing them play recently, I don't think that's going to be much of an issue in this tournament.
Steph, do they scare you?
I don't like to admit that I'm scared of anyone. No, I think Spain are one of those teams where they're full of quality players right now and some of the best in the world in their positions. So I do see them going very, very far. My only concern is that when you look at Barcelona, they've got that Spanish midfield, and then mostly their front line is more international players, and they're X factor and they're fast and they score goals. And I think missing that, sometimes when I've watched Spain in the past, they've been lacking that X factor in the final third, and maybe I wonder where all the goals might come from. I mean, they're obviously...
Because previously they would have come from Jenny Hermoso. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she's obviously not able to play, so it will be an interesting point for me to watch. I do think they're incredible, and I can definitely see them winning, but that is my only concern with them. Obviously midfield, incredible, but maybe where will the goals come from?
Would you say, and you're probably going to say that it's obvious that it is Alexia Putellas, because in the past, in recent performances, you know, they've looked like they haven't been able to get anything from that final third, and it's that individual brilliance that she's come up with.
Yeah, I think you can rely on that to some extent, but in a tournament where everyone's going to be very well prepared, I think They will obviously look at that, and that's something that most teams will be looking to stop, and it is difficult for one individual to sort of take that all on her shoulders. I do think she's more than capable. She's an incredible player, and she'll definitely score goals in this tournament, but whether it's enough to take them all the way against some of these teams, I'm not sure.
Is there a question mark over their defence, Steph? Because obviously we know them as this flairy, very technically good, forward running side that is creative, but is there an issue defensively for them?
I don't think so. I think, watching them in the past, they've always looked pretty solid. And the way that they press sort of puts them in a position where they do usually win the ball higher up. And they do have Leon there at the back, who I think is an incredible player, a leader. And usually when she's in there, they're pretty solid at the back. So I don't see it as a problem, but I suppose you never know. They do push up really high, and they do have so much of the ball that it does leave them exposed some of the time.
Yeah, Mappy Leon, this will be her third major tournament appearance, obviously, and she too has pretty much won everything domestically and is a real rock for Spain at the back. Very, very classy defender. Look forward to seeing her in action. A side that I haven't seen a lot of and will be intriguing to watch, certainly, especially when they come up against a team with the class of Spain, is Finland. What do we know about this side, Michelle?
As you said, not very much, actually. But the thing is with them that they're not really expected to do much. They have had some very heavy results of late. They've lost 5-0 against France and 3-0 against the Netherlands. And most recently, I think in the last week, they lost 5-1 to Japan. So they're not tipped to be causing an upset at all, unfortunately, for them.
Steph, have you ever... crossed Natalia Kuka up front, their three-time Finland Player of the Year award winner. I think she's the key for them to get out. She has played in the United States with Portland Thorns in the middle of the park. Have you ever crossed paths?
No, I've never crossed paths with her. I think she came after my time in the NWSL, I'm pretty sure. Looking at the list of players they have a lot of players and always have had players playing in big leagues around the world in really good teams. So I think they'll be a solid team. Obviously, this group is deathly looking. It will be very difficult for them. But they do have solid, very solid players, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they go. And it might, like I said, with the Northern Ireland situation, it might be one of those underdog, no pressure type situations where they can surprise a few teams.
Yeah, my prediction for this side is to exit at the group stage. Their best ever appearance, I think, at the Euros was a semi-final, but that was way back in 2005. So it sounds almost cruel of us to hold out not much hope for Finland in Group B. So tell me, who are the two teams going through Group B?
I'm going to say Spain and Denmark. Although in saying that, like, who knows? but yes, I'm going to say Spain and Denmark because I do think that they have the quality to get through. And I think Germany perhaps might not be able to live up to those expectations.
Steph?
I'm going to say Spain and Germany. I just have faith in Germany that their experience will come out on top in a major tournament situation.
Like the pair of you, I'm very torn between Germany, Spain and Denmark. I think earlier this week I tipped Denmark as a dark horse, so I'll probably have to stick true with that. I think Spain will top the group. Denmark will come home second, and that'll probably be the last of their run once the teams cross over, but we'll see how they go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Moving on to Group C, this is intriguing too because we have the defending champs in Holland or the Netherlands. We have number two ranked side in the world, Sweden. We have Portugal and we have Switzerland. The Netherlands lost their coach, who's obviously gone to the English side, and have now Englishman Mark Parsons at just 35 has taken up the reins. He would be a little disappointed with his side's recent outing against England though, Steph.
Yeah, definitely. I think Holland are a great team full of great players. Obviously, when you get a new coach, there's a lot to learn about each other and it can take some time. And obviously, they haven't had a whole lot of time. But I do think they have the quality to sort of overcome that and still do really, really well in this tournament. You know, they've got a player like Vivian Miedema, who's my teammate. And I just think she has that sort of X factor to drive her team to winning games. So I think they'll still do really well. But, yeah, obviously a result like that against England coming into a tournament like this can be quite deflating. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back.
Let's talk about Vivian Miedema just for a minute because she was instrumental in their 2017 victory in this same tournament. She's 25 years old but just seems to score at will. What is it?
Yeah, she's just a freak. Like, she's just one of those footballers that you look at and you're like, you're not real. There's just something about her that is different. She's special. She can score in any given moment, left foot, right foot. She's one of those players that at training she's so frustrating to play against because she'll just be floating around, not doing much. And then you'll defend her from maybe 5 centimeters too far away and she'll put it top bins on her left foot. Like, she's a freak, she's a game changer, and she's definitely capable of taking this tournament by storm.
She will form part of a very stacked team, Michelle, Sherida Spitz, Leaky Martens, so many players that have come through this Netherlands system. What are we expecting tactically from this team? Will we see something different now that they're coached by the Englishman, and what are you looking forward to?
I'm not quite sure if we will see something drastically different. I mean, there has been a lot of criticism of Mark Parsons for the recent results that they have suffered. But I think when you do have quality players like the likes of Miedema and Leica Martens, that's what's going to make the difference. And like Steph knows, Miedema is just the ultimate finisher. She is so clinical in front of goals. So, yeah, I think she's definitely going to be up there with player of the tournament. But, I definitely think that the Netherlands aren't going to have any trouble getting out of the group.
And the other team that will probably be holding their hands the whole way through will be Sweden. They're the top seed at this tournament, ranked number 2 in the world at the moment. Peter Gerhardsen's been with them since 2017, and he has this side playing some Beautiful football. Of course, they were third at the Women's World Cup in 2019, second at the 2020 Olympics last year, a foe to Australia. We've met them many, many times. Lots of new players coming through, but also someone like Carolyn Seager. She's just ageless. She's 37. And again, likely heading into her final European Championships after 12 major tournaments. They have other players like Aslani, Blackstenius, Rolfo, so many players that Aussies are now familiar with. And of course, teammates of yours too, Steph, and players that you play both for and against.
Yeah, Sweden, when you're reading out the list of players there, it's sort of like a Norway situation for me. You forget how stacked they are. You forget how many amazing players they have in their team. And obviously, we came up against them at the Olympics. It felt like about 8 or 9 times in the same tournament. But yeah, they're always very, very strong in tournament mode. I think they're always well coached. They're very organized. They all know their roles in every individual situation in every game. And I do think they have that X factor as well with the, you know, players like Rolfo, Blackstenius. I think they've got a good mix of everything, and they're very disciplined as well. You know, Eriksson leading at the back. And when we play against Sweden, we're always focused on Sega. It's just amazing. She's ageless, like you said. She's just keeps getting stronger and stronger with age. And I think they'll actually be a really, really strong team throughout the whole tournament.
You mentioned Magdalena Eriksson. Statistics will tell you that a lot of Sweden's play actually starts with her and goes through her as they make their way forward. What are you expecting from this side, Michelle? Tactically the same across the playing out from the back, coming down the wings and providing quality crosses to, you know, some strong forwards in the box.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of pace as well. And I've been reading quite a bit about Sweden, given that they are one of the favourites. And it is being said that the team is better now than ever before, which is quite concerning for all their other opponents. And especially their game against the Netherlands is going to be really interesting to see, because they haven't lost a game in normal time since they took on the Netherlands at the World Cup in 2019. So they're just solid all round, really.
Yeah, they will be one to watch out for. And as I said, the top-ranked side in this tournament. Let's see how deep they go out of the group for sure. They will face Portugal, who's an interesting story, isn't it? Ranked 30th in the world. It is their second Euros. But in this case, they've kind of drawn the lucky straw because they got called in to replace Russia, Michelle.
Yes, they did too. Yeah, so they didn't quite make it through the playoffs, obviously, to get through to the Euros. But they're in now, and they're another side that don't really have any expectations. And so, yeah, I'm not expecting much.
A short tournament. Is that what you're saying?
Essentially, yes. I was trying to find the polite words to say it. they'll go out there and do their best, I'm sure.
Yeah, obviously we watched the result against Australia recently. Steph, disappointing not to have our superstars out there against the two nations that we recently played. But what were your thoughts? Did you watch the game, and what were your thoughts on this Portuguese team?
Yeah, I did watch the game, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. Well, obviously not playing against us. If they're playing well, I don't want that. But when I'm thinking forward to this tournament, I think they actually had aspects to their game that can be quite dangerous. I think they've got a lot of pace. They've got some crafty players like Jessica Silva, who is an extremely skillful, smart player, and she makes really, really intelligent runs. I think their finishing is a little bit of an issue, which I think we saw in the game against the Matildas. They had a lot of big, big chances and didn't really come close to really hitting the target or finishing off those chances. So I think they do have some good aspects, but I agree. I don't see them really getting out of the group.
Yeah, Anna Borgs, their captain, was strong in that game too after watching them against Australia. But I align with the both of you. I don't really think they will trouble the top teams. Switzerland, though, might be a different story. Ranked 20, Niels Nielsen, who actually formerly coached Denmark. This Swiss side intrigues me a little bit because there's a couple of players, Anna Maria Cernagova Chocic, I think that's how you say her name, and I apologise if I've got it wrong. It's long and hard, but they also have a midfielder from Arsenal in the team in Leah Walty.
Yeah, Leah is probably one of my favorite players to play with that I've, you know, in any team that I've played with. She is so strong in all areas. She's smart defensively. She cleans up everything. She really is the glue for every team that she plays in. And her passing ability is second to none. The passing range she has and the runs that she sees, I've not seen anything like it as long as I've played. So she's definitely one that will be fun to watch. It is hard when to be in a team where maybe she doesn't have as much quality around her to link up with, but I can see Switzerland surprising some people and getting some results.
Because Leah moves from moves forward into the defensive midfield for matches against Switzerland, which I find must be unique for her to have to try and adjust to something different.
Yeah, definitely. I think she's one of those players that's really versatile, though. She's sort of capable of playing anywhere in the midfield. And, she's left-footed, right-footed. She uses both just as much as the other. So she's effective really anywhere she is on the field. I think, a defensive midfield is actually really, really suited to her because, like I said, she really links everyone together and holds everything together. So, she'll be fun to watch, definitely.
All right, going through this group, it's a simple one for me. I'm saying a cakewalk for Sweden, a cakewalk for Sweden and also for the Netherlands.
Yeah, I find it hard to disagree with you there. I think it's going to be definitely Sweden and the Netherlands that are going to go through, but Switzerland are for sure going to make it hard for them.
And Steph, do you align with us?
I do. I do align with you, Sweden and Netherlands.
Well, there you go. Moving on to what we're calling the group of death, Group D. I don't really think it's a group of death. I actually think this one's pretty wide open and will be really fun to watch and hopefully plenty of goals in this one too. We can't not start with France, of course, because there's been much chat about this side, hasn't there? Like Corinne Diacre, who herself captained France for much of her time as a player. She's very, very polarizing, made headlines recently by leaving out a handful of the big names, Henri, Le Sommer, not making this squad. It's a big squad, and it's when I say big, I mean it's bold. You've got the best of PSG, you've got the best of Lyon, players like Wendy Renard, Marie-Antoinette Cototo. This team really looks like it has all the goods on paper, but has one big issue, and it's a quarterfinal curse, Michelle.
Yeah, they have struggled to get further than that in tournaments, and I think it will be interesting to see how they're going to deal with their coach, and given that she's left out, like you said, some of their biggest players in Amandine Henry and Le Sommer, who were pivotal to their past campaigns, whether that be at the World Cup or Euros. She's very tough, but we'll see if that finally pays off, that tough love for them. But I'm really interested to see that how their front three go with the likes of Sandy Baltimore and, like you said, Marie-Antoinette Cototo. They're fantastic at PSG, and they've scored so many goals in the past season. I think it was about 35 or so. So, yeah, they definitely have a lot of quality players on their side.
It's a potent front line, and not one that I'd like to defend against, Steph, let me tell you. But they also have the goods in defence, don't they? Wendy Renard, France's captain, holds strong in there and is surrounded by some other great players and has played 126 appearances for the Les Bleus. Like, where is the weakness in this team? Is it in the midfield now she's left out those big names?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really see France as a team that has sort of a weakness. I think they're, in terms of whether it's the front line, midfield, back line, I think they're pretty strong all round. It's whether they can sort of make all of those connections work from midfield to front, back line to midfield. They'll be really interesting to watch. I think, you look at their front line and it really is just stacked with talent. Talent, pace, aggressiveness. I can see them scoring a lot of goals, and obviously having Wendy Renard back there really shores things up. She's also ageless and just seems to not be fazed by anything and just keeps keeping on. So, I'm excited to watch them.
Yeah, Cototo and Cascarino up front. And I think they'll be contending for the golden boot, but geez, I'd like to have a player like Wendy Renard in the centre of my defence, let me tell you. Italy, ranked 14th, coached by Melina Bertolini, one of the most respected figures in the game. Italy making the Women's World Cup for the first time in 20 years in 2019. And with players like Cristiana Girelli in the midfield, wow, we've got some creativity there.
Yeah, definitely so, and especially alongside Barbara Bonasea as well. But the interesting thing about Italy is that they are quite an older team, and there are a lot of expectations on them from their fans, because as we know, the men weren't able to make it to the World Cup, so now and they did win the Euros last year, but there are a lot of expectations that they're going to be the ones that can bring them some sort of joy to the football fans of Italy.
Well, their side currently sits in top spot as it attempts to qualify for the World Cup in 23. I don't think there's any shortage of passion coming from this side, but Steph, do they have enough star power to go all the way?
Yeah, I do think that might be where they're lacking. When I look at them, I don't really see the names that some of the other teams do that it might take to sort of get really deep into the tournament. But that passion you're talking about, they have unique qualities that make them really hard to play against at tournaments. We played against them at the World Cup in France and were, I think, shocked by how hard it was and how hard they made the game. They're very street smart and they know how to win games. If they get in front, they know how to lock things down and they know how to make things really difficult. So I think they could be not an easy team to get past. I don't think I see them doing anything too magical in terms of going really far, but I do think they'll be difficult to play against and maybe make it hard for other teams.
Well, then there's Belgium. So some may pick Belgium as a dark horse, a team that is on the rise. They're called the Red Flames, but this is a very, very hot group, and I just don't think they'll be hot enough to get out of it. A couple of great players, obviously, but what are we expecting from this Belgian side?
I think that, definitely a team that their opponents need to watch out for, because unlike Italy and Iceland, you know, they did win their qualification group for the Euros, so they definitely have some quality. I think they're ones to watch. Whether they get out of the group, we'll have to wait and see really on that one, because I don't know if they will be able to.
Their most capped player is Janice Kamen. She's a Champions League winner with Lyon also. But the other player I think we need to keep our eye on, Steph, is Tinda Canny. She was the side's top scorer with 12 during qualifying.
Yeah, from memory, we played against her. She plays for Hoffenheim, so we're familiar with her from playing against her with Arsenal. She's a very, very good player. And I think I don't know too many players from this Belgian side, but I do know a few, and I think they will be a tough side to play against. They'll be gritty. I don't see them getting too far.
And the other side in this group, of course, is Iceland, with a relatively new coach, but currently sitting above the Netherlands in World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, they're definitely a side that that I guess potentially could get out of this group if they're able to cause a few upsets. They don't have any expectations, so they'll be, you know, underdogs going at it, nothing to lose sort of thing. And they've only ever won one game in the three tournaments that they've qualified for. So, you know, they're going to be throwing everything at this Euros, and you never know what could happen. I feel like they have a decent chance of being able to get out of this group.
What about you, Steph? What are you expecting from this Icelandic side?
Yeah, I think they'll be a side that's hard to break down. I think they've got a lot of good quality players. I've been watching a lot of Wolfsburg through the Champions League, and Jons Dottir, the 21-year-old, she is fun to watch. She's fast, she's dangerous and exciting. So, I think they've got a few surprise packages in their team. Whether it's enough to cause a few upsets, I'm not sure. But, it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Some inspiring stories there with having a mama on their side as well, with a baby that's just 8 months old. And also they will rely on Ellen Meta-Jensen up front. But will it be enough to see them go through the group? Let's get your final say on this one, Shell.
As much as what I just said, I do think it's going to be France and Italy, but I wouldn't completely rule out Iceland.
Yeah, I agree. I think it probably will be France and Italy, but Actually, I'm going to say France and Iceland. I'm going to shake it up a little bit. Yeah, I think they've got just enough to cause some upsets, and I can see them moving on.
Steph, I hope you're right.
it would be a fun storyline, Steph, but I think you're going to be wrong. France are undoubtedly the favourites in Group D. They will win this one. But as for second, I do think it is up for grabs. I think, though, I'll probably land on Italy to go through to the knockout stage there. So there we have it. We've got France, Italy, Norway, Germany, England, Spain, Sweden, and the Netherlands. Unless you're Steph, because she has picked she's picked the big upset there with Iceland to go through. So who will be the biggest surprise packet of this tournament, Michelle?
This is a real tough one. I'm going to say Norway, and given everything that we've just said, I'm not sure that they're going to be a massive surprise, but they don't have those sort of expectations that the likes of England and Spain and Germany and all those do. So I think that they're going to be able to perform really well. I think they're going to go deep into the tournament, especially having one of the best players in the world like Ada Hegerberg.
Steph, who's your surprise packet side?
Yeah, that would have been my answer as well, Norway. But like Michelle said, it's also, I'm not sure if they are a surprise because they do have so much quality. But just for something different as well, I think Denmark might be a little surprise package. I think they've got, great players. They've got good tournament experience and some good results in past tournaments. So, they might be a bit of a surprise too.
I think they're a big underdog, Steph, but I sit with you. I think Denmark will be a surprise packet in this tournament. Let's go on now to a really big one, because we've talked about 20 or 30 fantastic players, different parts of the globe, but all absolute superstars. Who is going to win player of the tournament? How do you pick this, Steph?
I mean, it's impossible, isn't it? You don't know really until you start seeing the teams play, because obviously it is going to be based on how far certain teams go and all of those aspects. But, I think Alexia is pretty a safe bet on something like that, with Spain probably going to go pretty deep. And just in the form that she's in, the way she controls games. I'm going to say her, and I'm also going to throw my close friend Beth Mead in there, because I think she's just in, like I said earlier, the form of her career. And when she's on the field, I think she's just taking control and scoring goals, and a few matches that England have played have sort of been won and lost by her being on the field, in my opinion. So, yeah, it would be fun to watch both of them, but I'm going to say either of those.
Yeah, I agree with Steph that it's going to be hard to pick because there are so many fantastic players, but I do think it's going to be hard to look past Alexia Putellas, also Ada Hegerberg and Viviana Miedema as well. They're just... I don't know. I'm only supposed to pick one, but there are just so
you
many.
Are. Let me throw this in there then, because you've mentioned some big goal scorers there. Who's going to win the Golden Boot then? Will it be Katoto from France? Will it be Beth Mead or Whitefinger? Will it be Ada Hegerberg? Will it be Putellas?
I think it would be Miedema. If Netherlands can do well, I don't think they even have to win the whole tournament. She's just a goal-scoring machine, so I think it could be her.
I'm with you. I think... Viv, I think if Holland have a good tournament and they start playing the football they're sort of known for, I think she'll thrive and I think she'll score plenty of goals.
Well, they'll have to come early in the tournament, won't they? Because most of the goals get scored in the group stages. But all those names will be right up there. It will be intriguing. So here comes the big one as we count down to the start of the tournament. All these teams in action. We've seen warm-ups. We've seen friendlies in preparation. They're all peaking at the right time. We cannot wait. Steph Catley, who is ultimately going to win the Women's Euros?
Again, such a tough question. My gut is telling me that this might be the tournament that England come through and win. I'm going to just stick with them. I think Spain will be up there. I think maybe a Spain-England final. I'm going to go with them, England.
I don't think England are going to be able to do it. Unfortunately for any English fans listening, I think it's going to be Spain. I've been harping on about them for the last 6 months whenever I've been asked who's going to win the Euros, because I just think that form and dominance that Barcelona have, and given that they've got 9 players in the squad, that's going to be just enough for them to be able to win it. They're just incredible side, and the way that they play, it's so fast paced, and they're just, yeah, absolute quality.
So many big teams to pick from: France, England, Sweden, as you've mentioned, Spain. It is really, really tough. I went with France earlier in the week. I've got to stick with it because I've said it out loud now, but I'm feeling less and less confident by the day after watching all these other teams play.
Oh, no.
So we will see. This tournament, we'll just change tact a little bit now, because the tournament is a sneak peek as we're a year out from the Women's World Cup in Australia. So let's talk about what sort of insight it gives us ahead of that. Australia, like many other countries out there, will have scouts at this tournament watching on as we count down to the Women's World Cup. How much can we read into the form of these countries, Steph, a year out?
Yeah, I think you can read into it a little bit, but I do think there's a long, long way to go, and football changes very, very quickly. You know, squad health, keeping players fit and healthy, changes in coaching. So much can happen in that time that I don't think you can read into it too much. But, I think if you start getting on a good run now and you win a major tournament, I think that you can take a lot of confidence then going into a World Cup knowing you're capable of going all the way. So
does a blitzing run here, Michelle, get you carried over to the Women's World Cup?
Well, if we're to go by the last Euros from the 2017 into the 2019 World Cup, yeah, you'll make it into the finals, to the final, like the Netherlands did. And the stats do show that there is a bit of connection. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to win, of course, when you've got the likes of the US, who are such a powerhouse. But I do think that we need to definitely watch out for these teams. And Europe, they've put a lot of money and investment into their youth and developing them. And I mean, keep going on about, but Spain, but they are a perfect example of that.
It certainly will be interesting. I think the form runs on for a year. I think you need to be building now, and I think it will continue to build towards the Women's World Cup. So whoever makes the top four of this will be right up there come 23 next year, which of course will be at your home on Optus Sport. You'll be able to watch all the games there, and we have the Euros. It's all happening, that's right, live and exclusive on Optus Sport during July, culminating in the final at Wembley on the 31st. For more information, the draw, interviews, podcasts like this one, all the highlights, you can head to our Optus Sport app. But Steph, let's turn the focus right on you now, the spotlight right on you, and some Aussie football for a moment, or maybe even WSL football. I don't want to dwell too much on the recent friendly results because, of course, you weren't there. You're on a break at the moment. Our listeners and our viewers know you very well as a star of the show, as an Optus Sport ambassador. You're a Matilda. You play in the WSL. Have we missed anything there before I continue?
I think the only
a dog
thing
mama.
Missed, yeah, that's my new hat. I'm a fur baby mama right now. As of two days ago, I have a little baby Calvin who's asleep at my feet
so
right now.
So a fur baby mama. Well, our listeners and our viewers have sent in some questions for you, the covering topics both on and off the field. Before we answer those, though, I'm keen to get your thoughts on some great news we've just heard of, and that's Mary Fowler's leaving France. She's headed for the UK, and she has just signed a new deal for Manchester City. It's great news, I think, until I think about it a little bit more and think, oh, now you're going to be matched up against her when you pull on your Arsenal kit.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible news for Mary, and I'm very proud that she's taking a big step like that. She's so young, but, if you ask any of our senior players, I think we all forget how young she is because she's got a great head on her shoulders. The way she plays is so composed, and I think she'll do really, really well over there for Man City. And, I mean, I don't necessarily want to be playing up against her, and I do want to see her doing well. But, ultimately I'm just really proud of her for making that big step.
It'll be a big move. It'll be lovely to have her on Optus Sport in the next WSL season. I certainly look forward to seeing those fancy feet of hers go to work. Let's talk about Arsenal for a little moment because they fell just short to Chelsea last season. You get that kind of disappointment, but do you use it to fuel yourself and your team for next season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the league is so difficult. If you drop points one time, that can be the end of your chances of winning the league. So it is difficult, and we did have a slip up against Birmingham that ultimately cost us on the final day. And that is sort of hard to deal with, especially because at the end of the season, I think in the league, you know, we were playing really, really well. We had multiple clean sheets in a row. We were ultimately dominating games and playing some of the best football that we had. So to come up short on the last day like that was pretty painful. But you do use it as motivation to already start thinking about next season and how we can be better and more consistent throughout the whole league.
Steph, what's it like playing a game, going into that final day, and you're not knowing what's going to happen essentially until it's all over?
Very strange. It's very strange because you have a lot of hope, but then your brain's also going to, well, it's not in our control, and you get sort of like frustrated, and it's just a lot of anxiety. Like you just think about every scenario, and then when you go out and play, you do just play, but then you take into account what the crowd are doing. Like when we were playing, they would randomly cheer, and then I would know that Man U had scored because it was a random cheer and it didn't have anything to do with our game. So you do kind of notice little things like that, and it is a really strange situation, but it's also a lot of fun and obviously very exciting for everyone watching.
Optimism would be a big part of your role on the team with, you know, with days like that and results like that too. And it is a big part of your role with Optus. How do you stay optimistic and resilient when you're faced with days like that, with big tournaments, with the highs and lows of a season, with tough conditions?
Yeah, I think it's just something you develop over time. I think resilience is built up through going through tough situations and coming out on the other side of it. I think personally I've been through lots of different circumstances where I've been challenged and had to get through situations that weren't ideal. And I think over time I've also just learned to lean on people and learn that there's people around me to help me and support me and get me through those situations. And I think that's the best part about football and being in a team, is that you're never alone and you've always got people around you that care about you and are there to support you. And I think that is the key when you're going through adversity and challenges.
As we said, Arsenal fell short to Chelsea, just so close, but there must have been a small part of you that was happy for your national teammate in Sam Kerr and fellow Aussie in Tanya Oxby. Oh no, there wasn't.
Come on, Steph. I am always, always, always happy for Sam winning her awards and doing well and all of that. I mean, every time she wins, I'm happy for her. But in this circumstance, I can't say that I was. I was pretty devastated, and yeah, she's won enough. So I was like, can you just not? And the way that she literally took it from us as well. Like the goals she scored on the last day were what won Chelsea the league, if we're honest. So I was a bit upset with her and a bit angry with her, but I'll get over it eventually.
She needs to give one to the team. Give one to the team.
She does. Steph,
for next season. All right. Shall we get through some of these quick fire questions from you? Whatever pops into your mind really quickly, tell us the answers to these as we wrap up. Do you have a pre-game ritual, and what is it?
I don't anymore because I know that they don't work, but the only thing I do have is what I eat. Bolognese before the game.
Bolognese. Beautiful. Mm. If you could play another sport, what would it be?
The only thing I'd be capable of playing is probably AFLW, coming from Melbourne, but I would also probably say tennis.
Ooh, tennis star. Why did you choose Arsenal in the first place?
Probably the players that they had there. I wanted to be challenged, and I wanted to be around world-class players. And also Joe Montemurro was the coach at the time, and I love the way that he gets his teams playing.
You're a new puppy mum. Called Calvin. Who's he named after?
He's named after Calvin Harris, the DJ. My partner loves house music, so we were choosing between Kygo and Calvin, and Calvin won.
Who's your favourite teammate from Arsenal?
Beth Mead.
You know, this will get back to the rest of them, right?
Funny. Yeah, I know. And Jen Beattie and Jordan Nobbs and the whole team.
And who's your favourite teammate from the Matildas?
This is hard. I like doing this. I'm going to say Emily Van Egmond.
Okay. And now you've got Hayley and Sam and everyone else in that
and
team.
And Caitlin
after you.
And, yeah, all of them.
All right. Well, speaking of the Matildas, what has Tony G brought to the team and to your game in particular?
Yeah, I think he brings a lot of positivity. He is energetic and passionate about our team, and I think he just instills a lot of belief in the team. I've seen a lot of individuals flourish after having him coach, you know, especially in the Olympics. I think when we had a long preparation with him and building into that tournament, I think a lot of players flourished under what he brought and was able to get out of them.
And finally, Steph, where will we see you in 3 years' time? I know you've signed a new deal in May, and your partner's obviously signed a new deal this week, but where are we going to see you guys in 3 years' time?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that will take me to, I suppose, an Olympic year, I think. So hopefully in the Olympics. And past that, I really don't know. I've signed on till this point because I know it will take me to sort of the end of the cycle, and I am getting on. I'm a bit of a grandma now. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to reevaluate where my body's at and how everything's going. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
Thanks so much to you. And thanks to you, Michelle, for being our guest today as we discuss all the important things in football, the groups at the Euros. We're now going to wait and see what predictions you've made come true. But for our listeners, turn to viewers. Don't miss a minute of this one. You can get all the in-depth information on our app. You can watch all the games live and exclusive in July, starting from 5 a.m. on July 7 on Optus Sport. Again, Steph, Michelle, thanks so much. And to everyone else, enjoy the Euros.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.